Okay, go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 9. Don't stand together with me, but we will read some verses to get things started this evening. Start in verse number 1, read together with me, and we'll just try to get an understanding of the context here, okay? The Bible says in Exodus 9, verse 1, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field." I want you to note in verse 3 that it mentions the hand of the Lord. Okay, so now that's key. And when in this context, when you hear of the hand of the Lord and what God's about to do, it's not really a good thing. Okay, so you don't want the hand of the Lord on you at this point. Verse 3 says, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, and upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all of the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. The Lord did the thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israel dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." Isn't that a sad truth, a hard heart of Pharaoh? It didn't stop with the disease and the cattle. Look at verse 8. "The Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ash of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon every man, upon every beast, throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And watch verse 11. "The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth." Now I want you to read with me. You don't have to read along with me. Follow along as we read about this third plague in our series of three plagues that we're going to be studying tonight. Verse 15, "For now I will stretch out my hand," and there it is again, "that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou shalt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle for all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall," say that word, "they shall die." By the way, let me say this. The first time that death is associated with the plagues. And you know what's amazing about verse number 19 is this is a warning from God. Listen, you need to get your cattle, you need to get your men out of the field. Because if you don't, they're going to die. And so they have the warning from God. Verse 20, look at this. "And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle to flee to the houses." And that's a key verse, isn't it? "He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." So you have two kinds of people here. the hand of the Lord is against Egypt. It's clear in three different, you know, cases here. And the ones who listened removed their cattle from the field. They were, you know, spared this death. Those that didn't, you know, they didn't, they weren't spared. There was death. And the key here, the phrase here that I want you to keep in mind is verse number 20. Look at this. He that feared the word of the Lord. And that's the difference. It's the fear of God. You know often why we ignore God? I told you our title tonight is Ignore God and You'll Pay. You know why often we ignore Him? Because we're not afraid. We don't think it'll happen to us. I mean, if we did, then we would act. If we did think it would happen to us, we would be obedient. But we're not afraid. No fear. Let's have prayer and we'll, Lord willing, get going here tonight. And God will work in us. Father, tonight we love You. And we want You to receive glory, God. We don't want to be distracted by, Lord, the things that our mind has a tendency to bring up. Sometimes just our flesh, sometimes the devil, sometimes just our tendencies. We pray, God, that You'll help us tonight to be free from distraction and that our hearts would be filled up with the Spirit as You lead us in the way we should go. Please help us tonight to learn what it means to be Your servant, to fear You, to take heed to Your warnings, Lord. And Lord, we'll give You the glory and the change that You make in us. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Sometimes people are going through bad circumstances, and when we have those times in our life, we ask, why is this happening to me? Often it's because we aren't listening to wise counsel. We're doing whatever we want to do. And honestly, when that happens, we receive wise counsel. We know what God's word says. We know what God wants us to do, but we do what we want to do anyhow. What then happens is consequences come our way. And listen, it's not because you're not loved by God. It's not because you're not loved by your church. It's not because you're not loved by your family necessarily. It's because there are consequences associated with our actions. If we decide to be disobedient to God, there are consequences that are associated to that. And we have have trouble, I think, just as human beings, seeing that these consequences will happen to us. We convince ourselves that we are the exception to God's rules. When God says, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen to you. And we at times convince ourselves, for whatever reason, that it's not going to happen to us. And then we're surprised, you know, whenever it does happen to us. You know, it's like whenever we go to the restaurant and we know what's going to happen when we're there. When we order the food and we know we've got too much food going on. It's too much. Now, we convince ourselves, don't we? There's a couple of us in here. I'm not alone on this. Amen. There's a couple of, yeah, see, I got a witness over here. You didn't even have to raise your hand. We were all thinking about you anyway. So, you know, we go to the restaurant. We know we've got too much food. You know it's going to do to us. But yet we do it anyway. Maybe it's Thanksgiving. Some of us, that's our Achilles heel, right? But it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. It could just be some of us. This is like a constant struggle that we have. Oh, man, I ate too much. That was too much. I did not expect that to happen, you know, or maybe we were just hoping that if I ate all this, I wouldn't end up feeling this way. But it always happens. You take it in and you end up feeling really bad. That's the consequence of, you know, the actions there. I mean, we eat too much and we pay for it. Well, I'm going to pay for this. You ever said that? You know, it might not be how much you eat. It might be what you eat. I mean, it's something you like. And you know what it's going to do to you. But at the moment, it sounded so good, you couldn't say no to it. So you eat it, and then you end up saying that right after you eat it. Oh man, I'm going to pay for this. Right? Well, we do that because we're hoping that there'll be an exception to the rule. We're hoping that it won't end up coming back on us. We're hoping that we can act in accord with whatever we're wanting or being tempted to act in. And we're hoping the consequences won't come our way. And so I've heard of people making really bad financial, investments. And you know, along the way in the financial investment, things go awry, they don't go well, and it comes back. And if in the end, what happened is they made this decision, it was not good, it was a bad investment, and they paid for it. Well, we invest our lives in the things that we believe will return good investment to us. But often, we have a tendency as human beings to get deceived by glamour. We get deceived to turn to things that's not going to give us good return. Why do you think there's so many people that are going to drugs? Whenever, can you imagine something that's more taught against than drugs that's out there? I mean, drugs is got to be one of the top things that's taught. It will destroy you. Even the world says, don't do drugs, but yet so many do. Why? Because they think they're going to be the exception. Well, you know, it won't happen to me. You're wrong. It is going to happen to you. You're going to be the statistic, but there it is. How about illicit sexual relationships? So many teens getting involved with it. You know, it's like a drug too, isn't it? And these kids, they start touching each other it's not a big deal. You know, you can say that all you want to. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That's what the Bible says. And he doesn't just stop there. He says that you may avoid fornication. So in other words, it's like almost like God knows. If you touch, it always leads to something more. And so, listen, a teenager, they have the hormones going on. They like somebody else. There's no parameters or structure in a home necessarily. Parents doing your best to stop these type of relationships from taking place. Kids, they think they have a love thing going on. It's nothing more than a lust thing on both sides, whether it be the guy, we know what he's wanting, or the girl, she has the thing that she wants, you know, that satisfaction. They're both looking for it. And they go down that path. It doesn't matter how much you can tell them till you're blue in the face what it's going to do to them. I'm going to tell you the path that this is going to put you on, but they won't listen to you. Why? Why is it that they... And by the way, this isn't like across the grid 100% of the time. Occasionally, there's somebody who says, I want to be wise. I don't want to be foolish. And praise God for that. We all have a choice to make wise choices. But so many don't. Why? Because of what we're saying today. They don't think it'll happen to them. They believe that they'll be the exception to the rule here. And so they're going to move forward. They're going to neglect obedience to, you know, the things that God says, what wise counsel is. They get engulfed in this, you know, relationship. And then it almost always leads to decisions, scars, and sometimes far worse. At the least, it'll leave you with scars. And it only gets worse from there. So many get engulfed in sports. You know, I'm not against sports. I watched the Sooners last night. I was nervous about it. But you know, what happens whenever sports becomes so much that it rules you? Can't you see that there's maybe an improper balance there? And it will cause you to neglect the things of God? Well, I mean, of course, we can see this. But not just in sports, it's the same is true in schooling. I mean, kids get so committed to their education that God literally goes out the window. I mean, I can't tell you how many college students that are out there devoted to their college career and God is nowhere in it. Go to church on Sunday, that's what college students are thinking. I mean, I'm just saying general things here. Occasionally you'll have somebody who doesn't fall into that category. But listen, these are the type of things that we make decisions to invest our lives in. And when we do this, here's what we're thinking. It's not going to, all the consequences that are associated with these bad choices, these bad consequences, listen, they're not going to happen to me. You know what? You can do that. You can go down those paths that we've mentioned. And by the way, we're only scratching the surface of bad choices here. But you can go down these paths and think the consequences associated with these bad decisions won't happen to you. But you're wrong. They will. Easy money. Is there such a thing as that? No, there's not. So many are deceived, though, which is sad. But they're deceived. God warns us against these type of investments, but often people ignore the warnings of God. Now, the plagues that we're speaking of here, the plagues before or up till now haven't really included death yet, have they? I mean, they've really just been nuisance. Let's talk about them. We have first the water, which turned to blood. And of course, we understand the fish died there. And so there is just that level of death. But really, the death of the fish is bringing more of a nuisance to the people than, anything. The frogs piling up, the lice were as dust, the flies were as thick as the air. All of these things are, tremendous nuisances. But the plagues that we're going to be studying today go far beyond nuisance. They go to pain. They bring destruction. They bring death. And so what we're dealing with today is introduced to us with this phrase, the hand of God is now getting involved. And so we're going to start to see pain. We're going to start to see destruction. We're going to start to see death. As you can see that it's almost like this thing is progressing and it's getting increasingly worse as Pharaoh and Egypt are denying obedience to the God. The plagues are getting worse. So we're not just talking about the corrective hand of the Lord, are we? We're talking about the hand of God as bringing consequences to those that have rejected Him in sin. The implication is this, that God is faithful to His word. And I want you to get this. God is faithful to the condition of His warnings. That means if God has told you, if you sin, then this will happen, then that's what's going to happen. These are the conditions of God's warnings. And God is always faithful to the condition of His warnings. His promises are always true. And so we need to take warning tonight. And then, of course, associated with the warnings that we're going to hear, here is the encouragement. And I know it's not going to sound too encouraging, but I hope that it is in the end. If you hear the warnings tonight and you ignore them, then you need to understand this. You being all of us, myself included. If you ignore God, you will pay. The hand of the Lord will come against you. And it will happen. And we can't escape it. We are not the exception. Nobody is the exception. So the hand of the Lord was against Egypt. We rehearsed these verses as we read through all of them. So we're not going to read through in a detailed way all of these verses again, okay? But I think we need to review what God's hand is bringing here. Because His hand was against Egypt. I mean, that's clear to see, right? So let's see the hand of the Lord bringing moraine. Okay, look at verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. And then it goes through and names the cattle. The last phrase of verse 3 says, there shall be a very grievous moraine. Now, that word moraine is an interesting word. It's only used one time in all of the Bible, and there it is. It means disease or pestilence as related to animals. And so the Lord is bringing a severe disease to the domesticated animals of the Egyptians. Now in verse 4, the Bible says, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. That means that only the cattle of the Egyptians, the ones who have rejected God, are going to be paying the consequences here. Verse number 7, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. The heart of the Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people go. So the destructive effects of the plague here brought death for the first time. Well, it's going to bring death for the first time to humans. Now we're seeing the domesticated animals to be killed. They are dying. These animals are treasured by the Egyptians as incredibly important to their families and to their, maybe we could say the assets of the families in Bible times. Listen to this. The sheep, the goats, the cattle, the pigs, the geese were raised in the earliest times and supplied these things respectively. Milk, wool, meat, eggs, leather, skin, horn, and fat. And so these things were very important to the livelihood of the Egyptians. So when God brought down disease, what did He touch in the lives of the Egyptians? Here's what He touched. Their livelihood. Their livelihood was affected. And so they didn't listen to God's warnings, and He was against them in the manner that he judged, he brought judgment on their personal possessions. Yeah, their stuff started breaking down. Yeah, whoa, why is this happening? You ever wonder, like, why all my stuff is breaking? Well, that's what God's doing here. I mean, they don't have stuff like you and I have, like appliances and, you know, refrigerators and all those blessings. But God's breaking their stuff, killing their domestic animals. That's the hand of the Lord. But he didn't just do that. The hand of the Lord also brought boils on every man and on every beast. A boil. Look at verse 9. And shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man. And he goes on beast. And so everyone got it. Even the magicians got it in verse 11 and 12. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, which is amazing to me that he is continuing to do that. But a boil. Now, Pharaoh here in the hardening of his heart, and why it's brought up that the magicians have the boil too, is because we understand Pharaoh is putting a lot of his counsel in this, or rather the stock in the counsel of these magicians. He looked at them as, you know, those that had, you know, the most wisdom of anyone out there. And so if the Egyptians were able to heal themselves of this disease, then it would within Pharaoh would have contributed to the hardness of his heart. But they couldn't heal themselves. He still hardened his heart, even knowing that. Now here's what God has done. God didn't just break their stuff. He's bringing a bad health here. He's touching their health now. Now a boil, I don't know if you've ever had a boil, but those things are really painful. I had a boil when I was in college. I didn't know what I had going on here. But man, I'm not going to gross you out with the details of that, okay? It was not cool. Not cool. In the area that thing was, I mean, you couldn't put blow on it. Like, don't do that because it hurt. You know, I mean, it was so bad. I remember Grant had a boil and we had to deal with that. And, you know, we just say, Grant, you need to do this or you're going to get a boil. I mean, that's motivation. You know, it keeps him on the right track. These things are painful. And so the idea here is God is bringing pain in the health of the Egyptians. Why? Because they're ignoring him. They won't listen to him. So you're not going to listen to my warnings, okay? Well, I'm going to break your stuff. And now I'm going to bring health problems. They still don't get it, which boggles my mind, as we have already said. I'm hoping that you're a little bit baffled by this too, but there it is. The hand of the Lord was against their health. The hand of the Lord was also bringing this hailstorms. Remember, it destroyed everything that didn't take shelter. Look at our verses again, and let's read verse number 17. As he exalteth, or rather, as yet exalted thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain very grievous hail, such as not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. So those that are in the field, in verse number 19, God gives warning. I want you to get everything out of the field, and I want you to get your beasts out of the field, your men out of the field. And God warns them that if they don't do this, they're going to die. All the animals and all of the men are going to die. Key verses of our text, verse 20 and 21. Those that feared the Lord, they got their men out of the field. They got their cattle out of the field. And then on the other side, you have a contrast with people who just continued to ignore the warnings of God. And they left their people in the field. It's like they're saying, why would we take our, you know, men, our workers out of the field? Why would we take our animals out of the field when it's harvest time? If we take our animals out of the field when it's harvest time, if we take our workers out of the field when it's harvest time, then we're going to lose the what? We're going to lose the crop. We're going to lose the harvest. We're going to lose our money. We're going to lose our livelihood through our work. And so God now is not only bringing this judgment you know, upon breaking their stuff, he's bringing bad health, and now he's affecting their work. He's bringing hail, and he destroys the fields. He takes away all of their crops. He destroys their work, and their work is destroyed now. Man, and everybody who didn't listen, they lost all their workers. They lost all their beasts of burden. They don't have farm equipment like we do today. The farm equipment was their workers. The farm equipment was the animals, the oxen that, you know, pulled the plows. And so it would be destroyed. And so the hand of the Lord was against their work. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to the warnings. Yeah. The hand of the Lord was against Egypt. Let me remind you. He was against their personal possessions, their stuff, their health, and their work. But why? Because they didn't fear him. The hand of the Lord is against those who don't fear him. Pharaoh's heart was hard because he didn't fear the Lord. Pharaoh's actually also identified himself as wicked in the eyes of the Lord, but he didn't fear the Lord. Therefore, he wouldn't obey the Lord. Yeah. Let's look at this again. Let's look at verse 29. Obviously, verse 28, Pharaoh cries out, entreat the Lord. Verse 29, Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone into the city, I will spread out my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall thou be any more hail, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. Verse 30, as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail, verse 34, he saw the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, he sinned yet more, hardened his heart, and he and his servants. Verse 35, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. The fear of the Lord demanded that God's people stand in awe of him. The fear of the Lord demands that people understand and appreciate his supremacy and his greatness. They should fear the consequences of disobeying the Lord's will, but they treated it lightly. Remember what we started off with? They didn't think it would happen, not to them. And so, you know, the incredibly horrible hailstorm, you know, he came to Moses, he was, you know, in a sense, it looked like he was repentant, but he wasn't asking for a closer relationship with God. He had no interest in blessings from God. He did not fear the Lord. There was no fear there. You know, it's funny to me, those that are driving on the street and, you know, we're doing like 80 miles an hour in a 60. You know, why would you do that? I mean, the people do it. But there's police out there, you know. You know, you don't know for sure. But you're doing 80 in a 60. Ultimately, here's why. Because you don't think you're going to get caught. Because if you knew you were going to get caught, you wouldn't do it. Wouldn't you? Like if you knew over the next hill, and this is what happens between here and St. Joe when you go on this, I don't know the name of that road, is it 159? Anyway, you're on your way to St. Joe, and there's, you know, occasionally you got that little hill. You're not really for sure. It's like 60 miles per hour. You're doing 80, and in your mind you're thinking, man, it's going to be fine. And that's why you're doing 80, because you're not sure you're going to get caught. In other words, the fear isn't there. And so you're doing it because you're not really, you don't think it's going to happen to you. Probably because it hasn't happened to you. You know, you've done it and it didn't happen before, so we're going to be fine here. It's not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen to me. The same is true when it comes to the times when we don't fear the Lord. And we act in disobedience to the Lord's will for us, even though at times we know what God wants us to do and he warns us. He issues us warnings. Listen, I want you to stop going down this path and neglecting the things of God. I want you to be obedient to me as I'm leading you in the way that you should go. But we continue to go in the direction we want to go. And in the end, we do that because we're not afraid. We're not fearful that we're going to get caught. We're not afraid that the circumstances are going to really affect us. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. We know that's true. But, you know, that's why men so often live with miserable circumstances. Whether it be in some of these things that we've mentioned tonight, ultimately, when we're living in sin and we're going away from God and we're not doing the things God wants us to do, and then those consequences come in on us, listen, ultimately, it's a reflection on our fear of God, that we don't fear Him. And we need to remember tonight, God's hand is against those that don't fear Him. But there are those who do. There are those who are wise and who listen. Verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. You know what the difference between the ones that were bringing their cattle and their servants in and those that left them out in the field? It's just fear. The fear of the Lord. That the consequence, listen, God's going to come true on His word. And we can be assured that we're not going to get away with it. It's not going to, we're not going to get away with it. The Kansas City Star newspaper reported in the late 1980s of a crash of an ultralight helicopter. The death of the pilot. The helicopter crash happened on a Sunday in an airport in Independence, Missouri, so not too far from here. I heard the story of a man who was actually, friends with the pastor of this man. So this guy, the pastor of the church, Hope, I believe is the name of the church is Hope Baptist Church there in Independence, Missouri. The pastor had been trying to go to this man and encourage him in the things of God, because he had been getting away from God. He wasn't being obedient to the things of the Lord. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't doing right. And he had gotten away from God. So the pastor visited him on a Saturday. And he said to him, as a matter of fact, it was the Saturday right before this. And the pastor went to his door, knocked on his door, and told the man, listen, you need to get in church and you need to get your heart and your life right with the Lord. Because if you don't, something bad's going to happen. And so the pastor said that, you could almost feel like, whoa, man, when you know the story, you're thinking, wow, how is it that the pastor knew that? And the pastor didn't know. He's just giving the warning because the promises of the Lord are true. And so the pastor says, listen, you need to be in church. So the man said this, Pastor, I'm going to be at church tomorrow. I'm going to be there. You can mark my name down as present. You can just say it, mark it down right now. I'm going to be there. So that was Saturday. Pastor said, amen. We'll see you tomorrow. Goes to church, goes to home, goes to bed, at church the next day. The guy wasn't there. So the guy wakes up in the morning, tells his wife, man, it is a beautiful day today. I think I'm going to go out and fly the ultralight. So he decided, because the weather was so beautiful, that he was going to skip church. And he went to the airport to fly the ultralight. And there was a malfunction in the takeoff. And the helicopter went up and did 180 and went bang right down on the air, right in the airport. And you can look it up, Kansas City Star, late 1980s. The guy died on Sunday morning during the preaching time. You know what that says to us? It's dangerous for us to live without the fear of the Lord. You know, listen, I'm not saying that you're going to go out in an airplane and you're going to crash or something. I don't know. But what I do know is when the hand of the Lord, and God is issuing warnings to you and the hand of the Lord comes on you, I can tell you this. It's something to be fearful about. It's something to consider here. And so we have two choices. We can listen to God's warnings and be obedient to Him. Let my people go. Let's listen to these warnings. Let's be obedient to the Lord. Or we can ignore it. And if we do that, we're going to pay. And that's the warning tonight. It's not always exciting, is it, to preach these type of messages. But I want you to know, we're just preaching through this. And it could be that God has worked in your heart tonight. Let it be between you and God. I want you to know, I love you all, and I'm thankful for what God's doing in our church. I praise the Lord about that. Father, tonight we thank you for your word, and we praise you for the faithfulness and your faithfulness to us. And Lord, we think about, Lord, the consequences of our sins and how often, so often, Lord, when we are disobedient in the end, Lord, it's because we forget that there are consequences. And we forget, Lord, that there's no escape, because it says in Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing escapes your sight. You see it all, Lord. Help us to be wise. Help us to be a wise child of God. And Lord, as you lead us in the way we should go, I pray for your help. Strengthen us, please, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.